My latest guest is the incredible Nick Ginsberg, a passionate and innovative executive assistant, speaker, and community leader. He is the EA to the Provost and Senior Vice President at Monash University and is the co-founder of the Global Fireside Series. Productivity, innovation, and relationship building are his strengths and passion. Nick thrives when he is helping people, and in particular executive assistants, by bringing them together to share their knowledge and grow in their careers. Nick speaks about his own career, knowing that he wanted to be an executive assistant. He set his sights on a particular role and went for it. The energy and enthusiasm he has for the EA community is clear, and his ability to bring people together has been something he has been doing in real life for quite some time, and he is now doing that as part of our global community. His focus is on building deep connections, giving people the encouragement to achieve their goals. In a short space of time, Nick launched the Techspert Summit with Michelle Bowditch and Rhiannon Ward, which was a huge success and gave him the confidence to launch the Global Fireside Series with Rhiannon as well. Nick and I discuss self-doubt, vulnerability, and our mutual love of ring lights. The community is made better by people being brave enough to take the steps to realise the things they want to achieve. It brings us together in a unique way, and I am so pleased that Nick has been able to create this space to communicate with so many people. He says that if he could help one person to look at a situation differently or give them the encouragement to do something, then it would all be worthwhile. I'm pretty sure that many, many people have already been impacted by his ability to connect and inspire. Enjoy. I'm so grateful that you're here with me today. I'm so excited to have you as a guest on the show.
No, my pleasure. I'm so excited.
It was brilliant. I just couldn't wait. I was really excited this morning. So, so fun to have you. And I, like lots of other people, have been watching you and your success. And I'm keen to talk about that later. But what I wanted to talk about was kind of like how you got into becoming an EA. And were you the kind of person that fell into being an EA as I fell into being a recruiter? And lots of people tell me that that's what happened in terms of their career. How did you end up in this kind of role?
Well, good question. So I didn't just fall into it. It was a very conscious decision on my part. So I'd actually started my career in banking, and I was in just sales, but very much service focused and support focused. So
yeah,
I would look after home loan lenders and help with their documents and booking appointments for them. And that was all the stuff I really loved.
Mm.
And 21-year-old me didn't realize that that was all the stuff that I would love in being an EA. And so moved to Melbourne from Queensland and met my husband, my now husband, 4 months later. And then he said, why don't you get a job at a university? It's a great place. You can sort of figure out what you want to do.
Mm.
I was like, okay, that's a really good idea. Applied at a million different places. I think I did maybe 16 applications. Got one interview, and I know once I'm in front of people, I can usually nab it. So got it. Got the job, and I started at Monash as a purchasing officer. I took a pretty substantial pay cut to do it.
Yeah.
And it was the best decision I'd ever made.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it was honestly the best thing. So was a purchasing officer working in our chancery, which is where all the big wigs are of the university, and I was supporting a couple of them. And I remember kind of thinking, well, what do I want to do and where do I want to go? And I became friends with someone in HR who I was sharing an office with.
Mm.
We were having a chat, and I went, that's what I want to be. And I pointed at the office of the executive assistant to the provost, which is the role I've got now.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I wish I was exaggerating. I'm not. it sounds like a bit crazy, but I promise you it's all true. And we sat down. So Helen is, who's now one of my closest friends, her and I sat down and went, right, how do we get you there? And so I did a very quick cert for in HR, a certificate mm-hmm. for in HR, got myself a job internally with Monash University in HR, learnt a ton about the university because I knew I needed all that knowledge.
Yeah.
And then just waited like a crazy stalker, waited for the right role to come up. And it did. It came up 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, something like that, maybe 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
After COVID. Who knows what day or month we're in, so I have no idea on timings. but, yeah, so I got it. I was supporting three senior executives, and it was sort of sink or swim.
I bet.
And it was amazing. So I haven't looked back. Yeah, yeah. Best decision. Absolutely the career for me. Love, 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 love the space.
I think we can tell that though. And, you're, and you know, like I do, because there's an energy and an enthusiasm about it that's really clear in everything that you do about being an EA, just that huge passion for it. And I love that you waited for what you wanted and you weren't deterred by having to wait. Did you get impatient at times?
I did. And funnily enough, there was a role that came up about a year after I'd started working in HR, and it was an EA to a head of school in one of the faculties. And I almost applied. And I thought, now's not right. This isn't the right time.
Yeah.
And so I held off. And then the role I ended up getting was far better in terms of complexity for me.
Yeah.
Taught me worlds more than what anything before that would have. So it was that waiting period. It was trying at times because there were parts of the role that I was in that I didn't always love. But waiting and getting that was so good.
Oh, I bet it was. When you got offered it, you must have just been like, I have been waiting for this for a long time, and that was my goal. I love that it was your strategic goal, and that you didn't deviate from that. You know, you didn't say, actually, I'll take something else in the interim and maybe I'll get in that kind of role in the future. What was it about the role that you're in now that you knew was right for you, do you think? What really attracted you to it?
So there's a couple of aspects to this. So I love problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I adore. I love people coming to me and saying, help, I have no idea. And then for me to go, okay, well, let's look at this and this and this. I love it. Absolutely love it. So there's that. I also really love dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I like being the conduit of sort of that, not the conduit, but the person that is that flow. So the information sharer, the conduit of knowledge throughout that office. I looked at that and I remember, so I say this quite funnily, but my predecessor in the role, she she was great and we're quite good friends. And she kind of took me under her wing and over the years and taught me bits and pieces. And then it was all that little stuff that you don't necessarily get to see.
Yeah.
That I went, oh my God, this is amazing. And I would love to do it. And I knew I'd be, without sounding sort of odd, but I knew that that is a role that I'd be good at. I just didn't realize how much I would love it. I knew I'd like it, but there is nothing about the job that I go, ugh, I can't stand doing that. I don't want to go to work. I've never had that happen. And that's the first job I've had. So since being an EA, up until that point, that every other role I had before that, there were always days where you go, ugh, I don't really want to go in. So to have that is just amazing.
It's a real gift, isn't it? I've always felt like that about my role. And it's just such a pleasure. I enjoy every aspect of it, but it gives you an energy, I think, and just a kind of fire to do more when you feel that way about your role.
Yeah.
It's really powerful.
And I think also it then doesn't end up feeling like work.
No. I work all the time, much to everyone's horror. But because I'm really having a lot of fun, I think we should reframe it. It's not a bad thing if you're enjoying it. That's how I'd like to put it.
Yes.
Think that's fair?
I think that's totally fair.
I hope so.
I mean, I'm not going to. So my role that I have at Monash is not a 9-to-5. My boss is amazing and is very respectful of my time, but it's not a 9-to-5 job. And that's fine. That's what I signed up for. Yeah. I love every second of it. Like it doesn't make it work for me. Like it's not a chore for me to do that.
You're very lucky. I know.
Yeah, incredibly.
I feel that.
I was going to say is that I think once you find that, once you get that, you just feel so lucky. It's what you're saying. And I know that there's people out there that are EAs that don't have that. Mm. And it makes the job much harder. But there are people out there that value the role and value what you do. And once you find those people, you hang on for dear life.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
So true. And you're right, there are so many people. And I think more and more throughout my career, I have witnessed an evolution in terms of people's perception and respect for executive assistants and how they utilize within the business. And it has changed enormously. So I'm hopeful. I'm always hopeful that it will improve and improve. Yeah. And I think that some people will know you on LinkedIn or Instagram from the Techspert Summit.
Yeah.
How did that come about? What happened that brought all three of you together?
Wow. In what felt like a whirlwind of amazingness, I will say.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was funny. So Michelle Bowditch from Door 20A, her and I had a conversation. She was just checking in to see how everything was going with working from home and all of that. And I said, look, I'm fine, but I feel like there is such a giant leap from working in the office to working from home for a lot of people that we should start doing something. And so she was fully on board. And then I said, look, because we didn't figure out what it was. So Michelle and I had sort of said, yes, this is something that's needed. And I knew that she had spoken and that she was doing Instagram Lives with Rhiannon Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, let's the three of us get on a Zoom. So Mish set it up for, I think it was a few days after that. And we chatted. And it was like, this is what I think would be really cool to put forward. And it just kind of happened. Like it was just this flurry of energy that was all kind of amazing. So we had, I think I said something like, I actually remember saying, and I was giggling about this the other day with Ree, where I said, don't, I know this sounds crazy, but I think we should do like a full day or a half day kind of summit, conference, whatever we want to call it. But I didn't know what that looked like. And Ree and Mish jumped in, and Ree's so good at kind of the creative thought process. And so she jumped in, she was like, oh my God, we could do this and this and this and this and this. And then Mish was like, yes, and we can get this person and this person. And I can't remember the time frame, but it was something ridiculous, like 24 hours later, maybe even less. And we launched it.
Love it.
And we'd locked in speakers.
Yeah.
And we thought, you know what, if we can get 100 people, I said, so Ree and I are probably more conservative. So Ree and I both said, look, if we can get 100, that's amazing. Mish was like, stuff 100, let's go 200.
I love her.
Like we've got to, yeah, it was like, we've got to aim for the stars. So we're like, great, 200. If we get 200 people register, we'll be stoked, over the moon. We hit that in like 15 hours.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. We need to think bigger. So then we were like, okay, 500. And then we hit that, like, I think it was 20 hours after that or something ridiculous. And then by the time we went live, we had 950 registrations.
Wowzers.
Insane.
It, like, really, that's a huge amount, isn't it? I mean, did you feel so nervous when you saw that?
So everybody thinks that because I put myself out there on videos and Instagram and do this stuff and I do some public speaking, that I don't get nervous. Absolutely terrified. Like, I was terrified. I was terrified before the TechSpert Summit. I'm terrified before filming my videos. I'm terrified before posting my videos. It's all of that.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, yeah. The reality is that it's hard to put yourself out there. And I'm not sure how much easier it gets over time. I've done quite a few videos now and quite a few podcasts. But I think I've decided to think about it, actually, that the nerves are because I care. I want to get things across well, and I want to help people. So the intention is that's what makes me nervous. I'm nervous that I'm not going to do a good enough job.
Yes.
To get things across. And I can imagine you feel exactly the same way.
100%.
That responsibility.
And do you know, so for me, I danced as a kid, and I remember one of my dance teachers saying, the moment you stop feeling the nerves, it's over.
Oh, well, then we're on the right track.
Yeah. So she used to say the nerves is what fires you to go.
Yeah.
So while some people obviously are crushed by their nerves before that, for say public speaking or whatever, you've got to find a way of channeling it to push you. And I think I've done that. But even for this, Hen, I was like visibly shaking before we hit record.
Oh.
But it's like, and I think that's great. Everyone, it's totally fine to be nervous. Totally fine.
Yeah, and we all are all the time, even if we kind of know what we're doing.
But you're also, and you're so right, like we just want to make sure that it's right, that we're doing the right thing. But the reality is we're going to make mistakes.
All the time.
So, and that's also fine. I mean, we all just need to make our way through life doing the best that we possibly can. That doesn't mean being perfect.
Oh, no chance, I'm afraid. No chance
on my end. No, thank God this isn't a Zoom because I look a hot mess.
Me too.
Phew.
I know. No, I'm glad this is just audio, people. You don't have to witness. You have to witness, not for Nick, but me. I'm not really talking about him.
No, seriously, me too. My hair is all over the shop. So, I'm very glad this is audio only.
What I love, though, about the TechSpert Summit, not just the success of it, because it's hugely successful and it must have, like we said, have been nerve-wracking to do it.
Mm.
What I loved is that you had the idea for something and you took immediate action on it.
Mm.
It comes together and you reevaluate it when things need to be reevaluated, but you're prepared to keep moving with it, you know, moving with the expectation of it. You didn't just hold it at 200 because you weren't sure what would happen. You know, it had that feel. And I think, if I'm right, that led you on to the global fireside, which is amazing. Tell me about that, the series. So you started with Lucy Brazier.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good one. That's a good person to start with.
And, you know, she's so sweet.
Yeah.
So we reached out. Okay, so hold on, I'll step back a bit. So the TechSpert Summit really kind of, I think it taught the three of us to kind of just go for it.
Yeah.
So I was very big. Well, not very big. I was getting better over time, but self-doubt has always been a big thing for me, and sort of that, am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? Is this okay? Why would I say that? Why would anybody listen? It's that kind of conversation that you tend to have.
Yeah.
And so what that meant is that I would always put limitations on myself. And so the TechSpert Summit was kind of such a rush and such a push that it kind of, with like the jet stream, pushed all of that out of me. So it was like a,
yeah,
it was just like a, no, look at what you're capable of. And you just need to go for things. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? And so, Misha's so amazing, and she's so flat out. She does these amazing sort of walk and talks and tech audits and all of this amazing stuff with Door 20A.
Yep, she does.
And Rhee and I love the human aspect of our role. And yep. So Rhee and I had been talking and like, well, what can we do? What is something that we can put together? And then again, in about 12 hours, we got the idea thought of. The branding was done. I mean, Rhee's incredible with that stuff. So everything you see with Global Firesight, or I'd say 80% of what you see with Global Firesight is all Rhee. And the other 20% is built on from Rhee in terms of the branding. Mm-hmm. I'm all the kind of background tech side of things. So that's my kind of, I love that space. I'm getting better with the branding side with Rhee's guidance, lovely Rhee. But yeah, so we thought about it, we put it out, and then we thought, okay, who can we reach out to? And so we reached out to a few people. Lucy was pinned as one of our top two for the first.
Yeah.
Because we thought, how can you go wrong, really?
You can't. She's just she's amazing.
And, you know, I just thought, what chances have we got? Like, I thought, she doesn't know what we're doing. Like, we must seem like two crazy EAs that have just thought up this kind of thing that may or may not work. We didn't have a huge structure when we wrote to her. It was very much, this is our idea. This is what we want to do. It'll be intimate and casual. Are you in?
Yeah.
And she wrote back so fast and was like, yes.
Yeah.
Please reach out to Matthew. Let's get it locked in.
I think that's what I love about her, though, is that she doesn't have any... You know, she's just committed to helping. And so if you go to her with an idea, she's there and ready to help. And that's a real testament. She is an incredible leader in the space, and she's been doing it for a long time before anyone else started. And yet she doesn't have any kind of, she hasn't got that kind of exclusivity, you know, that it's all inclusive with her, that she's there to participate.
Yeah, and she was doing this
before. Competitive, sorry.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I was just going to say, she was doing this well before it was cool to push the EA role further.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, to have her say yes and to be our first guest, I mean, I'm still a bit gobsmacked, to be honest. I mean, it was such a great first event, and she was so amazing and so generous, and it was such a buzz. And then after that, we had Adam Hergenrother and Hallie Warner, who wrote, yeah, oh my God, so cool. if people listening don't know who they are,
yeah,
Adam's a CEO and founder of a trillion companies, but he and Hallie, his previous EA, who's now his chief of staff, wrote a book called The Founder and the Force Multiplier. So good.
Such we a had good them, read.
Yeah, and we had them on, and I mean, to get Adam and Hallie, who are, again, the other side of the world to us, don't really, I mean, they knew Rhee better than they knew me, but to put their faith in us, that's amazing. And then we've had Nadine King and Aisha Joseph from the US following Black Lives Matter. And that was, I think I'm still processing that. I mean, it was such a needed conversation, and I really hope when people are listening to this that we are still sort of fighting and being vocal about this stuff. And when I say fighting, I don't mean physically. I mean protesting however you wish to protest, because if we take our foot off the gas, it's not going to happen. So I hope people are still doing that when this gets released. But we had them on, which is amazing. And when we're recording this, it is the night before Libby Moore. Oh. Oprah, right? I mean,
it's incredible.
I mean, what is life? What, I mean, what is happening? Like, it's just, it is so amazing. Like, so amazing. And I just feel incredibly lucky.
Yeah, I think it's though that you've decided to do it. The enthusiasm to do it and the energy to do it, it carries things along in, and it's shown you so much. I love that you said, you know, the beginning of the Techspert Summit that, you know, you just had a hesitation before perhaps you did things, whereas the speed of that showed you that if you go for it, you know, that things can start to fall into place to help you, and that it can, your kind of ideas and goals can be actualized. And actually that's a theme from you in your role now, all the way through what you've been talking about, is to put something out there and go for it. That's what we've essentially been talking about all the way through. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, just at different levels.
Yeah, exactly, on different levels.
Yeah.
But the Global Fireside Series has had such a fantastic reception. And I think, what do you think about what people, what people kind of are looking for? What do you think it's touched in people that other things might have not?
I think it comes down to just one thing, and it's connection.
Yeah.
Like Rhea and I aren't scripted. We have had an Instagram live where I've spoken about having to do nervous wheeze before each fireside. Like, nothing's off limit for us.
Yeah.
Where everyone is the same in a sense. So
yeah,
we all go through the same stuff, just different varying degrees of it. And so we are very much ourselves. Authenticity is such a big thing for us.
Mm.
So what you see is exactly what you get.
Yeah.
Except obviously, I mean, on a Global Fireside Series, I've got lighting and a camera that doesn't show 15 chins, but it's, you know what, I mean, God help people when they meet me face to face.
Yeah, but I'm in the same boat, Nick. I'm in the same boat. The filters are real, people. Good luck.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
They are. So, I'm going to have to take a ring light with me everywhere I go from now on.
I know. Or just walk around in a box with a screen that's that you're being videoed inside. I do think it's authenticity. I mean, I know for me, when I go to an event or I want to watch a webinar or I want to be involved, firstly, the EA profession, NPA, chief of staff, however, whatever your title is, it is such a, can be such a lonely role.
Yeah.
And all you want is to feel connected, right? Is you just want that connection.
Mm.
Well, that's for me anyways.
Yeah.
So when I first got into, and this is a bit of a detour, but when I first got into my EA role, about 6 months had passed and I went, wow, I'm in a building. There's other EAs everywhere. I still feel totally alone.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to ask questions. I didn't want to seem to not have all the answers. I was junior in terms of the hierarchy within the organization. So I thought, oh my God, no, just sit down, shut up, don't say anything. And then I thought, hang on, that's not right. If I'm feeling like that, there's got to be others feeling like that. And so when I got the role I'm in now, which was, I think, a year and a bit later, I launched an EA network internal to Monash. And to date, it's still one of the most amazing things that I've done. And it's
fantastic.
Like, and I cannot stress this enough. If you're in a big organization, even a medium or a small, if you've got more than, say, four EAs, create a network, call it whatever you want, but get those people out from their desk and check in. You don't have to talk about top secret stuff. But, hey, I came across this that would really help when booking travel, or there's this, or here's this funny GIF, or, like, there's so many ways of kind of getting people together and create training events and get people together, I think, is so important. And so, yeah, so I did that solely because I never felt more alone in a role. Loved every second of it, but I was like, oh, God, I can't talk to anyone.
It happens, doesn't it? I think that many assistants feel the same way. What a great piece of advice to say, start your own network. Mm. So you'd started that. Yeah. And that must in part have led you then to the Global Fireside series in a sense, in that it's the same thing as you were saying. So you're just doing it in a different way. You're connecting people in a different way.
Yeah, I think so. I actually hadn't thought about it like that, to be honest. And I think you're right. So I'm, as you can probably tell, very much a people person.
Yeah.
I struggled working from home.
I learned
that I'm much more of an extrovert than what I realized. My friend Erin, who is very much an introvert, I always used to say to her, oh no, I'm an introvert sometimes and all of that. And she would be like, you're not an introvert. And then COVID hit and I was locked at home for 6 weeks, and then I had to go back to work because my boss is part of the crisis management team. But when I was at home for those 6 weeks, oh my God, I annoyed the heck out of her. I was like, what are you doing? What's happening? Can we have a chat? Can I talk to you on Skype? I just want to see your face. Can I see your face? Oh my God. I reckon if she could have got within sort of a meter and a half of me, she would have hit me. So
I'm throwing things.
But yeah, so it's, you know, I'm very much a people person. So for me, I like bringing people together, and that's what I love about the community. I always used to think in Australia we had such a great EA community. There's various different networks and there's various events and various conferences, and I'm sure you've got them in the UK and the US, I know, definitely does. So I didn't realise that globally we had such an amazing community. I knew the people would be great, but I didn't realise how tight it was. And, like, I have just – and I'm sure Ree's similar to this, but I'm only talking from my point of view, but – I just kind of feel like I've been collectively like picked up and hugged by so many people. And it's such an amazing thing. Like watching things grow and people react to what you're putting out is just, you just go, oh my God, okay, it's being received the way I want it to be received. That's amazing. It's just, yeah, so phenomenal.
It is an incredible community, but I think that I definitely think that COVID brought down some geographical barriers that people may have felt before. Do you think that's true? That was my perception. Like, of course, there are great networks in the UK, but I've connected with more EAs around the world during this time than I probably have in the whole of my career.
Yeah. I mean, look at us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I think that's right. I mean, if you were to ask me if I thought Techspert Summit would be as successful without COVID, the answer would be no. I mean, you've got all of these people who have been really predominantly in an office or in a workplace where they go to work, they do their job, they go home, and there's a very clear line.
Yeah.
So now they're not being a clear line. And people having to use software like Zoom and Skype and all of these other alternatives, that when you put something out like that and it's online and it's run by three people from Australia, you automatically are going to have more people go, oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
I want to watch that because A, I'm struggling at home with tech, and B, it's online and I can watch it.
Yeah.
Whereas previously, I don't know if there would have been the same response.
I think
it'd still be successful, but I just don't think it would have been as successful.
I think you were responding in part to, well, you only really would have understood that was happening for other people and then created it for other people because of the circumstances. And so many people did not see that was a real need for assistants who had also been creating, you know, offices in people's homes and setting people up and getting them used to tech that they'd never used before. That was a moment in time that, you know, we'd never really expected all of us to be doing at the same time. So you created something and the need was really there for people to feel supported and understood and given the tools and information to be able to do it. It's a huge deal for a lot of people to have access to that.
Yeah. And I also think the exact same with Global Fireside. I mean, I think that's slightly different in terms of what we were after, of course. But
sure.
I think being able to create a global community like that with EAs and PAs and chief of staffs and office managers who are now all up in Zoom. They know Zoom better than they know their emails now.
Yes, like, true.
It's second nature.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think about what I need to do in Zoom anymore.
No.
It doesn't even...
easy.
Yeah, I don't think about it. It doesn't worry me. I don't care if someone's recording. Like, all of that stuff has kind of, like, disappeared because we've had to use it so much. So I think that's definitely helped Global Fireside. But I think... well, I hope that it's the authenticity that Rhi and I have and the willingness of our guests to come in with an open heart and talk through stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. I mean, when do you ever get to sit down with Oprah Winfrey's former chief of staff and have a chat?
No, I know.
Like, you know what I mean?
It's incredible.
And it's not her presenting for 90 minutes.
No.
It's a chat?
I think there's a lot of power in a chat. I feel, personally, it creates a dialogue that I enjoy listening to. That kind of free and easy, rather than, you know, there are different spaces, aren't there, for different ways of communicating. But that's the kind of one that I really enjoy listening to. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And you touched on it earlier that you were saying about with the Global Fireside Series that you're kind of more the tech side. Productivity is like, it's your passion, isn't it? It's your thing.
Yeah. It is. I've always been like this. I remember in my very first corporate, quote unquote corporate role, that was a big focus on me, which was, how, like, I've got to do X amount of tasks, but what's the best way I can do them? And when I say best, I don't always mean fastest.
No.
But how can I do it to the best of my ability so that I don't then have to think and stress about it all the time?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, emails is a big one.
Oh.
I don't want to stress on emails. I don't. That is one part of my job. I don't want to stress about it. And if I have a crazy inbox, I'm stressed. So... I know, and you and I have spoken about this. I'm a big believer of Inbox Zero.
I'm working on it. And maybe Inbox 5, all right?
Like, Inbox 5 is not bad. Pat yourself on the back for Inbox 5.
I have, because during this period of time, speaking to assistants, I have learned so much. And I know so much about how to run my own business, how to implement new things for myself. And so Nick and I were talking about Inbox Zero. So I did a little challenge. I didn't tell him I was going to do it. Like, it wasn't formal. I don't get a certificate at the end of it. Actually,
I mean, I could. One.
Yeah, that would be great. So I just decided to try it. And I am getting much better. I feel like it's a process of training. It's discipline. So... mm-hmm. I'm on it, definitely on
good.
It. Good. Yes.
Well, you call me anytime. I'm happy, but I just think, particularly for the EA community, we have so much going on, right? There is so much that hits you, right? Why do you need to sit and stress about the things that you don't need to stress about?
Yeah.
Like, there's just no need. And so for me, in my role, one of the biggest questions actually that I get asked at the moment, and you and I have spoken about this, but the last few months I have gotten, I would say, more visible. So I'm doing a bit more. Yeah.
So I'm the statement of the century.
Oh, God. I always cringe a little bit and I instantly start shaking. But it's, You put yourself out there and you the videos and Instagram and LinkedIn and all of this stuff and Global Fireside and all of that. And the number one question I get asked is how do you do that in your job?
Yeah.
So there's two reasons that I can do it. One, both of them are very much a passion. So both the stuff I do outside of my work and my work are both passions. So it doesn't ever feel like work. But also, I look at everything with the mindset of, okay, how can I do this in a way that's going to free me up for something better? So what, if we look at emails, for example, what we're talking about, I could spend 4 hours a day on my emails.
Oh, easily.
Easy, right? Easy. And you could never get anywhere.
No.
Just like running, hamster on a wheel. Whereas you can be using that time for so much, so it's like worlds better things.
Yeah.
So for me, I go, well, no, I'm not going to stress about emails at all. I'm going to do emails in a way that I know how to do emails and respond quickly and action them and put them away and snooze emails and do all of these little tips and tricks so that I can focus on other things in my job.
Love that.
Be it the EA network or whatever. Because I just think we are all capable of doing things like this to then better ourselves or the community or however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, there's so much that we can do.
And I think that productivity can get a bad rap, really. It's kind of like, it's essentially the thought process. Well, maybe correct me if I'm wrong. My thought process is when I used to read things about productivity, it would be like, and I imagine that certain people listening might feel the same, but it was kind of like, if you're more productive, then you get to do more work for other people. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, yeah. So you can then take on more, that you can strive more. And actually, I think when you talk about it, it sounds like the opposite of that. It's to allow you to be freed up.
Yep, 100%. So part of the bit, so in terms of productivity for my own work at Monash, I do that a lot of the time so that I've got time to sit with my executive stress-free.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about what's in my inbox or on my desk, to sit with him and for us to talk things out. So I'm very lucky with him, but we work very hard on what we have. So we will talk through different scenarios, even if it's for 3 minutes. But I can do that without thinking, oh my God, I've got so many emails. I wish he'd hurry up. I just need to get back onto my emails.
Yeah.
No, I can give him my full attention. It means I can also give the person coming to ask me for time with my boss my full attention. So it's not about, well, I've managed to do 8 hours of work in 4 hours, therefore you can give me an additional 4 hours of work.
Exactly.
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
There is, like, that is not what it is. And my, like, my boss and our chief of staff are very good because they know how hard and sort of how hard I work to get a situation like that. So if I'm standing at my desk chatting to someone, they know that everything's already done.
Exactly. It gives you the freedom. So, it's freedom, isn't it? It's freedom.
Yeah.
It's freedom.
And it's, and I think that is such an important thing, that productivity doesn't mean, so this, it doesn't mean that you always have to be productive. If you scroll through my Instagram, I actually wrote a post on this.
Yeah.
You don't always have to be productive. You can take your foot off the accelerator to then be more effective.
Love so that.
You can have a bad day or a bad week if it means then the next 3 months are fantastic. You don't have to be foot on the gas, productive, productive, productive. That's not what I buy into.
No.
At all.
And so, and
as you can tell, I'm passionate about that.
Yeah, no.
I'll get off my soapbox now.
No. I love it. I love it. I think it's, I find it so interesting to hear other people's kind of workflows and ideas about how to, because essentially the more productive you are looking after yourself better. Mm-hmm. And that's how I think I've approached I've made a lot of improvements to how I work and my structure and the processes that I use, but they actually enhance how I feel about myself because I know that I'm clear on certain things. Mm-hmm. And so it does allow a space so I can be with my son and I'm not worrying that I've missed out on doing something or I've forgotten what I've got to do in that moment, you know, because it's difficult to keep all things moving at all times. But yeah. you have a productivity pulse check. Now I love this you just launched.
Yeah, it's fresh.
Tell me about it and what does it mean and what can it do for people?
Oh my God, I could talk about this for hours. We may need another episode.
Part one, part two.
But so what it is, so I have been, so when I say before TechSpert Summit, I would put limitations on myself.
Yeah.
This is one of the things that I would put limitations on. So I always wanted to be out there and helping people because everything I do is about helping. Mm-hmm. So I want people to come along for the ride. I want to help in whatever way I can, right? And so I'd sat on this kind of idea, unclear of what it would kind of be, for ages. And then as I evolved and I shedded my sort of limitations, I went, I'm going for it. Why not? Because I want to help people. So essentially what it is, it's so through my website, so nickginsberg.com, mm-hmm. you can jump on, book a spot. We have a 30-minute Zoom. We talk through what's happening in your world. Now, some people I understand will go, I can't do that in 30 minutes. It may take me 2 hours. That's okay. We can talk through that. But we talk through what you've got. I'll give you some sort of live feedback. So around little quick things that you can do. And then I go away and put together all of the knowledge that I've got for you to then action. And then a few weeks down the track, we have a phone call and I keep you on track. So it's okay, great. What have you implemented? How's it going? What are the hurdles?
Love
and so,
that.
Yeah, and it's just something that I think is, I think it's needed because otherwise I wouldn't have put it out, but there's so much that we can do. And I think one of the things hearing you talk about spending time with your son, people don't realize that productivity is tied so heavily in with self-care.
Yes, definitely. Like it's,
productivity isn't just a dirty work word that a company wants you to be more productive to get more money out of you.
Yeah.
That's not what it is.
No.
It's so that you can take care of yourself and then in turn take care of others.
Yeah, and it's such a different – it has been used in such a way that just creates – not an exciting connotation when you actually start to put things in place and learn how to be more productive. It's very, very freeing. It really is.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But I love that you're basically, you could be somebody's accountability coach in terms of their, their productivity. What a great idea.
And that's exactly, there is the very next logical step to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Coaching has been something that I have done my entire life, not just my entire career. I do it for friends, I do it for family, I do it for anyone that'll listen, to be perfectly honest. And so, productivity coach is something that I've, again, always toyed with and kind of had that idea of, oh, who's going to want that? And then I was like, no, people need that.
They do.
So I'm going for it. So I've put that out there. And I just think if you look at everything that I put out, I hope this comes across, but I care so much about the human experience.
Yeah.
That
it does, don't worry.
That's very sweet. Thank God. But it's like I just want people to live their best lives. Like that's such I mean that for everything. not just work, not just personal, like,
yeah,
live your best life so that you can go out there and run with it and do what you want to do and launch things or not launch things or talk at a conference or not talk at a conference. You know what I mean? There's,
yeah,
the world is big enough for every single one of us to have a voice. And I think if we can nail some of these things, we can all start having our voice louder. So start putting it out there more because we can focus on stuff like that.
I love that. Have I got to do more videos? I don't know if I can fit in any more videos unless we do a productivity pulse check. And then you have to tell me if I can find some more time.
let's book it in, Hen. But like, I do. But I love your videos.
You're so kind.
But stuff like that, and when I say go out and do stuff, I don't mean replicate or go, oh, it means I've got to do videos. Not at all.
Oh, no, I know.
You can write articles, you can do a podcast, you can do even just little LinkedIn posts. Everyone has so much knowledge, and just because someone is talking about the same thing does not mean they've got the same experience as you, therefore it's a different audience and you're saying a different thing.
So there is space for everybody.
Yes.
Because everybody's completely unique in their story, how they approach things. 100%. But I think that's one thing that is so lovely in the assistant community and shines through is that there's space for everybody to be welcomed. I hope people get in touch and people obviously are reaching out to you. And that must be lovely to connect with people on a different level. It's fun, isn't it? It's really fun to experience all of that.
And I just, when I end almost all of my videos saying, please DM me, I love it.
Yeah.
I actually do really love it.
Yeah, you mean it. I know you do. Yeah. Because otherwise you wouldn't say.
No. I just find having these connections is just so powerful. It's got nothing to do about where they work. It's got nothing to do with what they do, but it's that human connection. And I've always said, and we've spoken about this beforehand, but for me, as long as one person is being helped or gets help or thinks about something differently from what I've said, then I've won.
Yeah.
I don't care what everyone else thinks. As long as just one person goes, oh, that's kind of cool. I can do that.
Yeah.
Or maybe I will start being a bit more vulnerable, or maybe I do need to talk to my boss about this. And as long as that happens and it's just one person, I'm stoked.
Love it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be much more to come, I'm sure. We're right at the beginning. I'm so keen to see how things evolve and what you do with it. I really appreciate and enjoy the creativity of it. And like you said, the openness. It's really fun to watch your accomplishments and I'm sure you are incredibly proud of yourself for what you've achieved.
I am, but thank you. That is, it's very sweet. I talk quite openly that I have a psychologist, and he is working with me around being more proud of what I've achieved, because it is that everyone has this kind of natural reaction of going, oh, no, and downplaying it. But no, we've got to be proud.
Yeah.
And I think while we're on this, Hen, don't think you can shy away. you need to be very proud at what you've created in the community.
Thanks.
There is... Your Instagram, I love it. There is so much fun. I love your videos. You come across as so authentic. And I said it to you on our very first phone call. You are exactly what I thought you would be. And that is what I want in everyone.
That's a huge compliment. I think it's taken me a long time, having been trained in a kind of corporate environment, to come out of that and integrate. And it's still a work in progress, right? Integrate all the different parts of my life so that they can all be living in one space, if that makes sense. Like, I don't have to separate off, because I don't think I'm really appreciative that you say it. I think if I tried to be something that I wasn't, I wouldn't be able to keep that up long term. You know, like it would
Who's got the energy?
It would be obvious, wouldn't it? That, like,
yeah.
She's really trying hard. Like, you know.
What's also like, who's got the energy to be someone else?
No. No, none. No.
I have enough. I barely have enough energy to be me. I don't have energy to be someone else.
I wonder what your thoughts are about this, because, you know, when I started work, you know, it was like you had to have a very work kind of persona. It was very, it was tremendously professional. You know, it was that kind of approach to work and life. And I love that that's evolved and we aren't all in that space now. But I think some people are still caught in that space because it's what we were all trained to do. I think I was lucky because I stepped out of it, you know, quite a long time ago. But it's still, I still felt a lot of the time like if I'm not really, really professional in that sense of... I don't know how to describe it. Hopefully you kind of understand what I mean. But if I'm not that kind of professional, then
persona.
Am I doing my work? Yeah, exactly. Mm. Am I coming across right? And I think some EAs that I meet have that too, have that feeling of separation of themselves and their work. And when I speak to people, the people that are most potentially most enjoying their work are people that have been able to combine those two things.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it doesn't, like, that doesn't mean, it was funny, the last in-person conference I spoke at, I miss people. I spoke about vulnerability, which is essentially what we're talking about, is being able to be vulnerable enough to be more yourself at work.
Yeah.
And so I said to them, that doesn't mean you walking into your office and putting your hand up, bursting into tears saying, hi, my name is Nick and I was bullied as a kid. That's not what that is. But
no,
if you can start integrating parts of your life, and they don't need to merge, but don't be afraid to not be perfect. Like, there is no need for people to be perfect because it doesn't exist. You're never going to get to it. So, and I think that's where a lot of that persona comes in of having to be professional. I remember just a very quick story. A previous boss who I will not name, and I wasn't an EA at the time. I was in a different role.
Yeah.
Took me into an office, sat me down and said, Nick, you need to stay at your desk. And I said, okay.
Oh.
What do you mean? And this person said, look, I've been told by the manager above me that it appears like you don't have enough work to do if you're up and moving around and talking to people. And
wow.
Yeah, right. And you can imagine how I handled it. And I very professionally is the answer. But what I ended up saying was, I'm actually getting up to ask questions instead of emailing.
Yeah.
So it's not me going to chit chat, and there is some chit chat, but that's not the purpose of me getting up. And they said, well, please just stay seated. And I said, you're not going to tell me to stay seated at my desk all day. I said, if there's any bigger issues, just come and talk to me. And then luckily after that, I got a different job, which was amazing. But I think that kind of behavior isn't a once off. I mean, it happens all the time.
It does.
And there's this perception that if you are talkative or that you're talking about your life or opening up a bit more, that you are not busy.
Yes. I think these are really interesting misconceptions, aren't they? That I do think people really still struggle with a lot of those things.
Mm, absolutely.
They're prevalent in so many workplaces. They are very, I don't know what the right word is. I don't want really to say old fashioned, but it's that kind of that attitude that if you're not heads down working and, you know, keep it super corporate, that you're not doing a good enough job. And I think the reverse. that's where I'm standing on that one.
I couldn't agree more. And you will never hear me say I'm busy when I'm not.
No,
that is exactly. That's not how I roll. So if I tell you I'm busy, you better believe that I'm busy. Like I'm flat chat. So I think the more we can kind of evolve from that, and I think it takes conversations for that to evolve. So people aren't just going to magically switch that off in all levels. It's about demonstrating that that actually isn't the case, and you've got to get to that through conversation. So what we're doing now, hopefully people who are listening will say, oh, actually, yeah, I am a bit like that. Maybe I can loosen up a bit more. Yeah. And if I'm sort of productive and I'm nailing all of my work, then what have they got to say?
Yes, exactly.
Like they can't come back and say you're not meeting your deadlines because you met them 3 days early.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's
that's the thing. That's what my boss loves. He loves that I can have a chat and our office is very warm and welcoming because I like talking, as you can tell from how long this podcast is.
We both really like it.
I know. We should have thought about this before. Because this could go on for hours. Don't worry, people, it won't.
The longest podcast in the world. Nick and Hen have spent 5 hours discussing things.
I know. I hope your commute is another one. Yes, I'm in.
I'd love to do another one too.
100%.
I have so enjoyed talking to you. I think people are going to take so much away from this. The goal, idea that you talked about, taking action, reevaluating things, being part of the community, productivity reframed for people in terms of making their life better, not just more work. We have unpacked a lot, and I think it is so helpful. It's been so helpful to me. I really appreciate what you're doing. And frankly, I cannot wait to see what comes next. It's going to be so exciting.
Thank you, Hen. It's honestly amazing. And I genuinely mean it. If you listening want to reach out to me for any reason, if you've got a question or you just want to chat, DM me. I am always happy to chat.
And he means it, people. Get in
touch. I do. It's true.
Get in touch.
It's very true. And you'll see, I'm not one of these people where I ignore people that comment. I am I love a good comment. I love chatting with people. So reach out. Happy to. So you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter. But you can also find me on Instagram. By the way, Twitter, I'm very bad at. So if you follow me on there, I'm terribly sorry. Terribly sorry.
And me, but Instagram, also, actually, yeah. By the way.
Oh God, I'm horrible. And my work said no. Twitter's what we need to do. And I was like, oh God, okay.
I don't really like. I like it, but it's not. Yeah. It's not my favorite. I'm more visual. I think that's
true. Yes, that's we are the same person, Hen. Yeah. I'm visual as well. I like seeing pictures. So
yeah,
follow me, comment, DM me. I want to hear from everyone.
I love it. Thank you so much. What an epic episode. And I loved it. It was so fun.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Hen, for having me on. It's amazing. Okay.
It was so much fun to speak to Nick. I really hope you enjoyed this week's episode. I know that Nick would love to hear from you. Please do get in touch with him. You can also get in touch with me. It's hen.barker on Instagram, and do follow assistants_together on Instagram too to get updates about the latest episodes that are coming out. And I hope you have a fantastic week. We're all looking forward to hearing from you and getting to know all of you better. I will be back next week with another fantastic guest. Take care.